Mackin and Ben Madness here on 95.3 WBCK. We're back from the break, and now we're going to talk about some college basketball as we step back onto the hardwood. This time, we're going back to school with it. We're going to start with the Michigan Wolverines because we started with the Spartans over in the football segment. The Michigan Wolverines are off to a start this season. The Wolverines are 7-0 on the year. They have a win over Oakland, 121-78. A win over Wake Forest, 85-84. A win over TCU on the road, 67-63. Middle Tennessee State, 86-61. San Diego State. Now, this next run I'm about to give you is 3 days in a row, neutral site in Las Vegas for the Players Era Tournament. Okay? First game of the tournament, Monday night, 94-54 over San Diego State. 40 points slacking. We don't want nothing to do with you. Now, the score differential cap is at 20, so they're plus 20 in the tournament for the standings, 1-0. Then they go out and play Auburn Tuesday night. Number 21 ranked Auburn. Much closer game, right? That's what you would think. Wrong. 102-72, 30-point win for the Wolverines. Then they were able to award themselves with a spot in the championship game because they had a plus 40 score differential, as the two teams that are the best record with the best score differential in the tournament are the ones who move on to the championship game. They move on to play 12th ranked Gonzaga in the championship game. And yeah, I know exactly what you're thinking. Mark Few, the Gonzaga Bulldogs, the perennial blue blood championship team, the team that's always making it to Final Fours and championship games, those Gonzaga Bulldogs, that's going to be a close game. That'll be a good game. Same thing I thought when I sat down to watch it. And yeah, I had a great time watching it as a Michigan fan. It was a good game for Michigan fans, a terrible game for Bulldog fans. Gonzaga couldn't believe what was happening right in front of them. They also lost to the Michigan Wolverines, 101-61, another 40-point win for the Wolverines. Those three games happened 3 days in a row, no rest whatsoever in between those three games. You cannot tell me that Michigan is not one of the best teams in the entire country when they're playing ball like that. When you are playing ball at that level, you are unreal. And that is what we're seeing happening right in front of our eyes with Michigan basketball. What do they have coming up next? Well, we actually don't have anything. They have 10 days off. They do not play again until December 6th, 4 p.m. on BTN against Rutgers. That game is going to be at the Chrysler Center on Michigan's campus. Then they'll go on to play Villanova next before they're on the road at Maryland. Well, they get their two Big Ten games in before Christmas break, and they start doing, you know, the Christmas tournaments and all the off-season play or non-conference play before getting back into conference play after the holidays are over. Michigan is the number one team in KenPom ratings right now, and they look unreal. Some people are saying Michigan might be the best team in the country. They made a huge statement by beating Gonzaga by 40 to win the Players Era Championship. They want to rethink the format for 2026 based off what happened in this tournament. And now Michigan is going home with an extra $1 million in NIL after winning that game. They have to be on top of the moon. And now we're going to take a look at the team leaders. Yaxel Landenborg, transfer from UAB, has 16 points on the year, shooting 61.3% from the field in 27.3 minutes. Elliot Cadeau, transfer from UNC, has 5.4 assists with just 2.4 turnovers, and he's averaging 8 points a game. Marez Johnson, transfer from Illinois, 66.1% leading the team in field goal percentage. He's got 13.1 points per game and 23.3 minutes per game. Ade Mara has 8.7 rebounds, 7 of them on the defensive end, 1.7 on the offensive end. He also has 2.7 blocks and 0.1 steals per game, leading the team in rebounds and blocks per game. Roddy Gale is 1.4 steals in 22.7 minutes and only 1.1 turnover on the season. The team is averaging 93.7 points per game, which tied for 12th in the country. 46.6 rebounds per game, tied for 6th in the country. 20.3 assists per game, they're 12th in the country for points per game and assists per game solo. No ties there. And then 67.6 points per game is all that they are giving up to their opponents. So they are looking like one of the most strong fast teams in not only the Big Ten, but the entire country. Obviously, at the moment, they're sitting at 6th in the coaches poll, 7 in the AP poll. But as I imagine, that will change when the new polls come out on Monday. Looking at some of the other teams in the Big Ten, it is going to be a gauntlet this year. Currently undefeated teams, Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Nebraska, Purdue, and USC, who are all 7-0. Then you have Indiana and Ohio State, who are 6-0. One-loss teams, Penn State and Wisconsin. Penn State 6-1, Wisconsin 5-1. Then you got Illinois at 6-2, and a slew of teams at 5-2 with Northwestern, UCLA, and Washington. Maryland and Rutgers are both 5-3. Minnesota 4-3, along with Oregon. This is going to be a good conference. There's going to be tons of good basketball played in men's basketball in the Big Ten, and you're seeing one of the best teams right in front of your eyes in the Michigan Wolverines. They do have to play the Duke Blue Devils later this year. That game is going to be on February 21st. It will be played on ESPN, so that is something to keep our eyes on later on in the year. Obviously, they have one huge matchup with Purdue this year, so that's going to be a huge game coming up in February. They have two big matchups with Michigan State as well, home and home, as they always do for basketball. So Michigan has their work cut out in front of them, but with the way that they're playing at the moment and the rotation they're running, where there's 9 to 10 guys getting even rotation on this team, it makes Michigan a deep team. What do you need to be successful in March 10? You got to be deep. You got to hit free throws. You got to be able to shoot threes. And you got to be able to play good defense while having an interior game. And guess what Michigan Wolverines have? They have all of those things at a high level. So I wouldn't expect them to not have some success in the tournament. And we'll see how their season unfolds over the next couple of weeks. But for now, we're going to turn things over to their rivals up in East Lansing, the Michigan State Spartans, who, as I just mentioned not too long ago, are also 7-0. They beat Colgate 80-69. Then they beat 14th-ranked Arkansas 69-66. San Jose State 79-60. 12th-ranked Kentucky 83-66. Detroit Mercy 84-56. East Carolina 89-56. And North Carolina, or 16th-ranked North Carolina, 74-58. Michigan State doing what Michigan State does. They're a gritty team. They go out and they play hard and they look to have success every single time they're on the floor. So if you're not ready to play ball and play hard, don't step out against the Michigan State Spartans, because you're going to get trampled. They have no cares in the world and they will run you right over. We've seen it happen, as Jeremy Fears has been unreal for the Spartans so far this year. Points per game leader is Jackson Kohler, 14.6 and 28.4 minutes per game. He also leads the team in field goal percentage at 54.4%. Jeremy Fears, as I mentioned, has 12 points per game, 9.7 assists, and only 2.1 turnovers. Jackson Kohler also leads the team at 9.7 rebounds, 5.9 on the defensive end, 3.9 on the offensive end. He's got Jeremy Fears with 1.7 steals per game. And then you also got Cohen Carr, 1.1 blocks, 1 steal, and 5.1 rebounds for his averages. 79.7 points per game is tied for 168th. 42.3 rebounds per game is good for 43rd. Assists per game, 20.1 is good for 14th. And they're only giving up 61.6 points per game. Their schedule also is pretty tough. They have Duke on December 6th at noon on Fox. Their next game is going to be December 2nd, 7 p.m. Peacock against Iowa, who's currently undefeated as well. Then they got to take on Penn State after that. As I mentioned, they have those two games against Michigan. They also have a game against Purdue that's going to be on the road. Illinois looks like it might be a tough battle this year. We know what Indiana does, and they have two games against Indiana when it comes to basketball as well. So nothing easy for Michigan State, but the difference is they're playing for Tom Izzo. And Tom Izzo knows how to get his players to believe in his program and how things are going to be run there and how to play basketball at Michigan State. And they go out and have success year after year after year after year because of it. I'm excited for that Duke game. I think that's going to tell us a lot about Michigan State, even though we've already seen them play three really good ranked teams in Arkansas, Kentucky, and North Carolina, and come out successful on top with wins in all three of those games. That Duke team is on another level, though. Duke is playing very good basketball. The Boozer Twins are unreal. So if Michigan State is able to rise to that challenge, They're going to be right up there with everybody else. They're going to move up the ranks again as they're currently 11th, but it's going to be a run, and they're going to be a fun team to watch because they have all the pieces to be uberly, uberly successful. They're 12th in the coaches poll at the moment. They're getting a little bit more respect from the AP at that 11 rank, but it's going to be tough for them moving forward because they don't have size. Jackson Kohler's nice. I'll give you that. Jackson Kohler's very good, and he's got the size, but he's going to need help. When you go out and play a team like Michigan that has Adey Mara, 7'3", at center, Morez Johnson, 7' at power forward, Yandel Laxenborg, 6'10", at small forward, who's going to guard who? Who's going to guard who? Who's going to help who? Who's going to rebound in those games? Because it cannot just be Jackson Kohler, and you can't expect Cohen Carr to go out there and sky and grab tons of rebounds over these guys. You're going to have to figure out how to combat size in games like Michigan and other games throughout the season. So that's the main focal point for Michigan State, but their gritty style of play and their belief in Tom Izzo and the way he does things will carry them far and wide, as it has done time and time again. So we will check back in on Michigan and Michigan State basketball next week after some things pop off. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some miscellaneous things happening across the state of Michigan with more Mid Madness on 95.3 WBCK.
95.3 WBCK.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We're retired, and this is how we live United.
We decided to volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too. We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic. We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Possibilities are all around us. We see potential in unexpected places. And when we share our knowledge, vision, and connections, we turn great ideas into action. Together, we can make real change happen. We're Rotary. We are people of action. Get involved today at rotary.org/action.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 WBCK. Now that we're back from the break, we are going to talk about some miscellaneous things that are happening across the state of Michigan in the sports realm. We're first going to talk about a perennial champion in the football ranks. We're going to talk about none other than the Ferris State Bulldogs. The Bulldogs are currently 12-0. They're 7-0 in their conference, and they're getting ready to step into postseason play in the D2 National Tournament. They started their season against Pittsburgh State from Kansas. They beat them 34-17. Then they played at Lake Erie, beat them 63-6. They welcome Tiffin into town 41-34. Then they welcome Rio Grande in for their homecoming game, beat them 76-0. Went on the road to play Roosevelt in conference play, the start of conference play, won 66-0. Then they welcome Wayne State in, 59-0, home win. Went on the road to take down Michigan Tech 38-10, and then had a home win in the Anchor Bone Classic against Grand Valley State 38-31. Went on the road to play, welcome Northern Michigan into Taggart Stadium, 170-35. Went on the road to play Saginaw Valley State, won 51-45 in a close game out there in double overtime. Then went on the road to Davenport, beat them 44-23 in the Calder City Classic. And then their first round of the playoffs, they played Northwood at home, and they took down Northwood 65-14. They're preparing for their second round game against Ashland. That game will be at Taggart Stadium up in Big Rapids here in Michigan, as the Ferris State Bulldogs will get another home game before they got to go to a neutral site possibly, which would be next Saturday, December 6th, for the quarterfinals. And then they'll have the semifinals possibly on December 13th, and the national championship game will be December 20th in McKinney, Texas. They're going to play Ashland There isn't really any kind of makeup for this game at all. But looking at some of their team leaders, Wyatt Bauer has a QBR of 155.4 passing yards per game. And they also have Carter, their backup quarterback, going for – or Chase Carter, excuse me, going for 66.2 passing yards per game. He also runs for 76.1 running yards per game. Wyatt Bauer has 66.8, and Mr. Brett has 36 per game. Carson Golker has 38.5 receiving yards per game. Mr. Brett has 35.6, and Mr. Underwood has 34, while Mr. Boyd Poison 31 per game. Brady Hamby averages 5.8 tackles per game. Madison 4.6, Allen 4.5, Byers 4.3, and Payout 4 tackles per game. I mean, Ferris State has won multiple national championships. I believe they have a few in a row here, as I'm going to check here. They won one last year over Valdosta State, 49-14, with current Ole Miss starting quarterback Trinidad Chambliss. Back in 2024, they lost in the first round to Grand Valley State, 21-14. So this would be their second in a row if they were able to win it. But if we go back to 2023, I do believe they won then as well. They took down Colorado Mines 41-14 in 23. In 22, if I'm not mistaken, they also won a national championship over Valdosta State 58-17. Do we dare go back to 2021? I think we do. I'm obviously wasting a little bit of time here. 2021 was canceled due to COVID, so there was no championship. But 2020, they lost in the final to, or in the semifinals to West Florida, 28-14. So they've won 4 or 5 in the last couple of years. So they're used to playing in the playoffs. They're used to making it far in the playoffs. They're used to winning national championships. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Ferris State go out and win another national championship this year. They've had some slow starts, which could easily get in the way of their success throughout the season as they look to go back and get another national championship. But they also bounced back in all of those slow starts and went out to win those games. Some of them they won in huge fashion. Some of them they won a little bit tighter games than they're used to. But the fact that they're able to face some adversity, have a slow start, gather themselves, grab their reins, and then go out and perform and play Bulldog football in the Ferris State way and go out and get a win, that speaks volumes. That is how you win tough games. That is how you go out and win national championships, is you have to be able to face adversity and then still come out with success on the back end. That is the only way, the only way, the only way. You have to have that extra success that you are looking for by going out and knowing who you are, facing that adversity, and continuing to have success. We're going to step onto the ice. At the moment, we're going to touch in on the Broncos hockey team. First, they are 34-7-1. They're on a current 10-game win streak. They're 19-4-1 in their conference. I'm going to bounce over quickly, and we are going to check out their rankings on ESPN, as they don't have a ton of news, but they will give us their rankings. Men's ice hockey, their NCAA tournament seeding rankings has Michigan at 1, Michigan State at 3, and currently Western Michigan is 7. That is what we currently have for that. When we go over and look at the record for Western, going to look at their current season. Sorry, that was last season that we were looking at with their 34-7-1 and all of that. Going to pull up their current schedule. Their current schedule has them at 9-5-0, 5-3-0 in conference. They're on a current 4-game win streak. They took down the U.S. National Developmental Team 7-0, lost 2-3 to Ferris State, then turned around and beat them 6-4, and then they swept UMass Lowell 2-1-6-0, split with Michigan 0-4-5-2, which they won the second game 5-2. They split with St. Cloud State 6-5 and 1-5. They won the first game. Then they got swept by Denver, 1-3 and 3-6. They beat Miami of Ohio, swept them 5-2 and 6-2, and then just swept Omaha from the University of Nebraska at Omaha, 7-2 and 4-2. Their next games, which one was played last night and one is played today, both at Lawson Arena against Minnesota Duluth, who is currently fifth in the country, before they go on to take Boston College and either Lake Superior State or Wisconsin in the Quick Trip holiday face-off. Bumping over to the Michigan State Spartans. The Spartans, which I have to go to their current schedule for the year as well. The Spartans are 11-3-0. They're 4-2-0 in the conference. They're 5-3 at home, 6-0 on the road. They took down Windsor in an exhibition 4-0. Lost to New Hampshire 3-4. And then beat them 2-0. Swept Boston, who was number one at the time, 4-2 and then 4-3 in overtime. Swept Northern Michigan 4-0 and 6-2. Swept Penn State 2-1 and 5-0. Swept Notre Dame 4-1, 3-1. Got swept by Wisconsin 4-5 and then 1-2 in overtime. Swept Colgate 5-2 and 4-1. They're currently in a series against Michigan. Their last game, or their game was last night, and then they have another one later today, 7 p.m. Both of those games at Yost Arena in Ann Arbor before the Great Lakes Invitational against Ferris State, and then they'll either play Miami Tech or Michigan Tech or Miami. Those games will be played in Grand Rapids. Michigan State doing well, currently holding on to that number three ranked team in the nation as they play some hefty games. They got Wisconsin, Minnesota, Penn State, Michigan, and Notre Dame again on their schedule this year to see if they're going to be able to hold on to that ranking and if they're going to be able to find themselves playing in the national tournament once again. But the state of Michigan can be happy with their college hockey play at the moment. That's going to get us over to the last college hockey team to talk about in the state. Michigan, who is 13-3. They're 6-2 in the conference, 8-1 at home, 5-2 on the road, and they are the number one team in the country. They are currently on a two-game winning streak. They swept Mercyhurst 11-1, 7-0. Swept Providence 5-1, 3-1. Swept Robert Morris 4-2, 10-2. Split with Western 4-0, 2-5. Swept Notre Dame 5-3 and 2-1 in overtime. Split with Wisconsin 7-4 and 1-6. And then split with Penn State 7-1 and 2-4. Swept Ohio State 5-2, 8-1. They play Harvard this weekend. Michigan does. The Michigan State series is next weekend, the 5th and 6th. But they play Harvard this weekend, Friday on Black Friday. And then tomorrow, or excuse me, later today, November 29th, 7 p.m., both of those games in Massachusetts. And they will be on ESPN Plus for your viewing pleasure. But, of course, they have Michigan State, Notre Dame, the National Developmental Team, Penn State and Wisconsin on their schedule again before the end of the year, as everybody will be gunning for them as they are the number one team in the country. That always puts a huge target on your back. But as I said, the state of Michigan can be extremely pleased with their college hockey as they have three teams ranked inside the top 10. At one point, these three teams were 1, 2, and 3 in the country. They're all playing great. And at the moment, they're all going to make the national tournament. So there's going to be tons of hockey going around, tons of chatter and discourse going back and forth, and the debates will be fun. I'm here for all of the banter, but as you know, I'm a huge Michigan fan, but I'm here for Western Michigan as well. Michigan State, you're cool as long as you're not playing one of the two, which you do quite often. So at the same time, go Blue, go Broncos. I'm here for it all. We'll be back after the break to talk about the college football playoff with more Men Madness on 95.3 WBCK.
95.3 WBCK.
Hello there, this is Nat King Cole wishing you all a happy and a Merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots.
Toys, toys, toys for tots. Some have too many, some haven't any. If those who have give those who haven't, oh, what a Christmas day. The Marine Reserve will help you, will help you fill your sleigh with lots and lots of toys for tots. So give a little toy today.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping Santa fill his sleigh, making happier holidays for deserving children right in your community. Go to toysfortots.org and learn how you can make a difference.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 WBCK. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and we're getting ready to talk about the college football playoff and how crazy things could get over this week as rivalry week commences. And everybody, I mean everybody, has something to play for this week because it is rivalry week. So everybody wants to beat their rival for one, but there's tons of teams that have their bowl game, college football playoff, conference championships, etc. on the line this weekend. So let's look just first off at how the playoff bracket would look at this current moment based on the CFP top 25 standings. You have your top four seeds, which would get byes. They are Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, and Alabama. Then your first round matchups would be the number 9 Oregon Ducks versus number 8 Texas Tech Red Raiders. The winner would play number 1 Ohio State. Number 12 Memphis Tigers versus number 5 Georgia Bulldogs. The winner would play number 4 Alabama. Number 11 Virginia Cavaliers would play the number 6 Ole Miss Rebels. The winner would play the number 3 Texas A&M Aggies. And then you have the number 10 Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who would take on number 7 BYU Cougars. And they would play the number 2 Indiana Hoosiers. The winner would. That gets us all the way over to Texas, who are the first team out at 7-2, currently 11th in the top 25. Oklahoma's 12 at 7-2. Utah 13 at 7-2. Virginia 8-1 at 14. Louisville 7-1 at 15. Vanderbilt 7-2 at 16. Georgia Tech 8-1 at 17. Miami 18 at 6-2. USC is 16. These are not the most recent. Whoa, sorry. The rankings have everything all messed up. So the current rankings, those were the last rankings. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia, Texas Tech, Oregon, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Alabama, BYU, and Miami are your top 12. Utah, Vanderbilt, Michigan, Texas, USC, Virginia, Tennessee, Arizona State, SMU, Pittsburgh, Georgia Tech, Tulane, and Arizona make up the rest of your top five. Tulane is currently the only Group of Five team in the Big Ten or in the playoff rankings, so they could make it as the Group of Five champion. That fifth champion that gets in, we'll find out how that goes, who wins the ACC, and if they get in at all, what happens in the Big Ten. Speaking of the Big Ten, things could get turned on its head with the Big Ten. The Big Ten has a ton going on this week. So looking over at the Big Ten, when we look at the standings, Indiana pretty much is locked into the championship game. All they have to do is go out and beat 2-9 Purdue, 0-8 in the conference. Indiana is most likely going to the Big Ten championship. This is where things get muddy. Number 1 Ohio State plays number 15 Michigan Wolverines. The Michigan Wolverines are 7-1. Ohio State is 8-0. So if Michigan beats Ohio State, Michigan becomes 8-1 along with Ohio State being 8-1. Michigan moves ahead of Ohio State because of the head-to-head tiebreaker. Guess what? Oregon plays Washington. Oregon is 7-1. If Oregon beats Washington, they will also be 8-1, and then the tiebreakers get weird. I'm going to look up what the Big Ten championship game tiebreakers are. So looking at them, first it is head-to-head matchups, then it's record against common conference opponents. So that would instantly put Oregon in the Big Ten championship game because they beat USC and Michigan did not. That is enough to put Oregon over Michigan. After that, it would be records against common opponents with the best conference record. Once again, USC would put Michigan out there. The best cumulative conference winning percentage. So I think Oregon would win that one as well. So basically, if Oregon wins, they're in the Big Ten championship game. If Michigan beats Ohio State. If Ohio State wins, then we're talking Ohio State and Indiana. But what else gets crazy is if Michigan wins that game, Oregon wins that game, Michigan doesn't go to the national champion or to the Big Ten championship, you have a real problem with your standings because then you have a 8-1 in the conference and a 10-2 Michigan. You have an 11-1 Ohio State who lost to Michigan. You presumably have possibly a 13-0 Indiana after winning the Big Ten championship, or they lose and they're 11-1. But then you have a 12-1 Oregon Duck champion. So now you have four teams in the Big Ten, all between 13-0, 12-1 to 10-2. And all of them have a case to be in the college football playoff. Maybe they get four teams in. Maybe they don't, and someone's on the outside looking in. It's a very good chance that the Michigan Wolverines are that outside team looking in because they lost to USC. So, therefore, their resume would be the worst. You got two losses. Everybody else has one or none. And you have a loss to USC that nobody else has a loss to. That is what's going to hurt Michigan. They need Oregon to lose this week. Then they have to beat Ohio State in order to get that Big Ten championship appearance. If they get into the Big Ten championship game, I think they have to win the Big Ten championship game to guarantee their spot in the college football playoff. But there is some wiggle room for them to make it in outside of that. And that is because the rankings are crazy. The rankings are crazy, and there's tons of teams that are going to be playing each other. Ole Miss played Mississippi. They won. Texas Tech has to play Texas. Georgia has to play Georgia Tech. Or Texas has to play Texas A&M. Georgia has to play Georgia Tech. Oregon has to play Washington. BYU has to go on the road this week. There are tons of big games that are happening that could shake up these standings. Speaking of those big games, Georgia did come out on top of Georgia Tech. Ole Miss over Mississippi State. Arizona State play this week. Auburn and Alabama play, and we know what could happen in that game. Texas Tech and West Virginia could be crazy. Miami's on the road against Pittsburgh. LSU is going on the road against Oklahoma, right? These games could all have crazy, crazy outcomes and could switch up everything that's happening in those standings and give some light to teams outside of those top 12 spots right now. Maybe they're able to wiggle their way up, but Michigan needs help if they're going to get into the college football playoff. It starts with first handling their own business and beating Ohio State later today. Actually, as soon as I'm done talking, that game's going to pop on and we'll get – or yes, that game's going to pop on and we'll get your pregame started before – they get into that game, and then you're going to need some help. You need Washington to beat Oregon so that you can get into the Big Ten championship game. Then you got to beat Indiana. That is the path for Michigan to make it to the college football playoff. You have to beat Ohio State. Washington has to beat Oregon, and then you beat Indiana. You win a Big Ten championship, you're in the college football playoff. You don't, you need a ton of help outside of that, and there's no guarantee that you're going to get it. You are somewhat in control of your own destiny. Somewhat. You just need one win from Washington. You just need one win from Washington. Outside of that, you control everything else. You get to decide if you beat Ohio State. If you do, and Washington beats Oregon, now you get to decide if you beat Indiana. If you beat Indiana, you're in. Look at how much of that destiny you control. Michigan fans have to be excited after seeing the loss to Oklahoma, who's turning out to be a good team. It's a quality loss. The loss to USC isn't a terrible loss, but it's not a good one. That is what's holding this team back. They win those games, They're smooth sailing. They probably make the college football playoff whether they beat Ohio State or not. So it's a weird space for Michigan fans to be in going into the week, but it's not one that they need to be super concerned with because it is one that they're going to be able to have some control over. The only thing that is severely in the way is Oregon. If Oregon beats Washington, Michigan State's in trouble. Or Michigan, excuse me, is in trouble. Michigan State's already in trouble. Michigan's in trouble and will need tons of help around the country. But like I said, they first have to take care of business against Ohio State. Speaking of Ohio State, I told you earlier in the show that they would be coming up in the picks, and they are. We're going to get into that. More games happening around college and the pros with our picks with more Mid-Madness on 95.3 WBCK.
95.3 WBCK. 95.3 WBCK.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 WBCK. It's time for us to get into one of my favorite parts. Well, my favorite part of the show, for sure. It is the picks. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and I'm about to spend some time taking picks at games to see how good my ball knowledge is. Do I know ball is the question. And the real question is, do you know ball? You can play around and play along with the picks every single week using the chat feature in the WBCK app. Listen to the picks, listen to the games, hear what I have to say, do your own research, do your own deliberation, and then send in your picks and see how well you know ball and see if you're able to beat me. Now, remember, Jacob hasn't been able to beat me at all, never did, in the time that he was here doing Mid-Madness with me. So I know ball pretty well. So if you're able to beat me, I may just have something special for you. Don't forget to send in those picks using the chat feature on the WBCK app, and then we can see who knows ball better. Speaking of knowing ball, your boy knows ball. Last week was a fantastic week for me. A fantastic week for me. I repeat, a fantastic week for me. Your boy went 6-0 last week. I needed that to bounce back and feel great about myself. We had Oklahoma over Mizzou, and they came out victorious. And we also had Oregon over USC. They grabbed the dub. Bears get the dub over the Steelers. Rams demolish the Bucks. The Pistons handle the Bucks over in the NBA as well. And then the 49ers took care of the Panthers. Perfect 6-0 week for me. Bumps me up to 54-30 in this rendition of picks. And we're about to roll into another weekend of football. And we got a weird weekend of picks for us. We have three games going down in college football for rivalry week. We have one NFL game. And then we have two games happening down on the hardwood in the NBA, as it is a holiday week. So games are all weird because they try and give stuff people to do on the holiday. So we will start first in the NBA. We'll start with a game that is happening 5 p.m. at the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota, as the Boston Celtics, who are 10-8 and 4-4 on the road, will take on the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are 10-8 and 5-3 at home. Anthony Edwards has 28 points per game in comparison to Jaylen Brown's 28.2. Nemias Queta has 7.9 rebounds. Rudy Gobert averages 10.3. Derek White averages 5.1 assists, while Julius Randle averages 5.7 assists per game. Jaylen Brown is a game time decision along with Derek White. Jason Tatum is out until at least April 1st. The Celtics are 4-1 in their last five with a win over our Pistons in that time. The Timberwolves are 2-3 in that same span. Overtime loss to the Kings. They lost to Phoenix and OKC while also beating Dallas and Washington in that same stretch. They're both third in their respective divisions. So this will be a game that should be just about even. And I have no beef with the Celtics. I don't care that they beat our Pistons. But without Jason Tatum, the Timberwolves are a tough ask. I mean, honestly, any team in the NBA is a tough ask for them without Jason Tatum. So I'm going to take the Timberwolves to win this game at home against the Celtics, as they have a 60% chance on the matchup predictor compared to just that 40% for the Celtics. That's going to bounce us over to our other game in the NBA. This one is going to involve our Detroit Pistons, who are going on the road. They're 15-3 on the year, 7-2 when away from LCA. The Miami Heat are 13-6, 9-1 at home. This game will be at the Kaseya Center in Miami, Florida. They're giving the Heat a 57% chance to win, 43 for our Pistons. Cade Cunningham averages 28.1, while Norman Powell averages 24.5. Jalen Duren, 11.8 rebounds. Khalil Ware, 10.9 rebounds. Cade Cunningham, 9.3 assists. Davion Mitchell, 7.4. Norman Powell, Andrew Wiggins, Jaime Jaquez Jr., all game-time decisions for this game. The Pistons are 4-1 in their last five, as we know. The Heat are currently riding a win streak, 6 in a row for them, as they're 13-6. They're the top of their division, just like the Pistons are. This is the first time these two teams will see each other. And I see that a lot is stacked against the Pistons. But you know what? I don't care. The Pistons are a fantastic basketball team. That loss that they just had to the Celtics is going to sting. They're going to remember that. Granted, they will have a game before this one, but that doesn't change anything for them. They're still on a mission. They still want to see success, and they still want to continue to stack the W's. This is another great opportunity for them to play a solid team that I feel that they are better than. As the one seed in the East, they got to go out and prove why they're the one seed in the East. I'm going to take the Pistons to go out and handle business against the Miami Heat as well, giving the Pistons another win on the year. That's going to take us over into the NFL. We have one NFL game going down this week. We're going to take the Buffalo Bills, who are 7-4 on the year, 2-3 on the road, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 6-5, and they're 4-2 at home. This game will be on CBS, 4:25 p.m. on Sunday. 56.3% chance for Buffalo, 43.3% chance for Pittsburgh. Buffalo is 3-point favorites. 45.5 sits on the over-under, negative 175 on the money line, plus 150 for the Steelers. It's Allen versus Rodgers, Cook III versus Warren, Shakir versus Metcalf, Bosa versus TJ Watt. This is a star-studded matchup all around. Obviously, there are some injuries to look at on both sides. Spencer Brown is out. Deion Dawkins is out. Terrell Bernard is out. Dalton Kincaid questionable for the Bills. For the Steelers, no big-name injuries that they have to worry about at the moment. The Bills are 3-2 in their last five. The Steelers 2-3 in their last five. Losses to Green Bay, the Chargers, and Chicago. Wins over Cincinnati and Indianapolis. The Bills have losses to Houston, Miami, while beating Tampa Bay, Kansas City, and Carolina. Seems like Buffalo loses to teams that aren't as good as them, but I think they will go in and handle business against the Steelers, even though they're on the road. They know that this game is pivotal if they want to continue to have success in the AFC. Granted, the Steelers are going to be looking to do the same as they try and hold that lead in the AFC North. They're currently 6-5. They're a half game above Baltimore, who lost on Thanksgiving Day to Cincinnati. So Pittsburgh going to try and hold on. This will be a hard-fought game, but I do have the Bills coming out victorious. I think that they are just a slightly better football team than the Steelers. That's going to send us into the college football realm for rivalry week. The 12th ranked Miami Hurricanes, 9-2 on the year, 5-2 in the ACC, will take on the Pittsburgh Panthers, who are 22nd team in the country, 8-3, 6-1 in the ACC. Noon game on ABC. 70% chance for Miami, 30% chance for Pitt. This game will be at Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh. Miami, 6.5-point favorites, 49.5 on the over-under, negative 260 on the money line, plus 215 for the Panthers. Carson Beck versus Mason Henschel. Mark Fletcher Jr. versus Jakarian Turner. Malachi Toney versus Kenny Johnson. Defenses will go out and looking to do their part. Both these teams are 4-1 in their last five. Miami wins over Virginia Tech, North Carolina State, Syracuse, and Stanford. They have a loss to SMU by 6 in overtime. Pittsburgh has wins over Georgia Tech, Stanford, North Carolina State, and Syracuse. Their loss to Notre Dame, 37-15, which isn't a terrible loss to have. Doesn't count against you in the conference either. This game is going to be a great game. Pitt's going to come out and play hard. Pitt has a chance to make an ACC championship game, which they haven't done in quite some time. But Miami is the 12th ranked team in the country for a reason. They are a slightly better team, and they do sit where they sit with a chance to play in the ACC championship game. And they're going to try and do what they can to make it there by beating Pittsburgh. I have Miami and Carson Beck coming out with a win. That's going to send us over into the SEC. We'll see Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Vanderbilt, 14th team in the country, 9-2, 5-2 in the SEC. Tennessee, 8-3, 4-3 in the SEC. 3:30 p.m. on ESPN. Neyland Stadium in Knoxville, Tennessee. 42.4% chance for Vandy, 57.6% chance for Tennessee. Pavia versus Aguilar. Pavia versus Bishop. Stowers versus Brazell the second. Capers and Longwell on defense for Vanderbilt. Bailey and Spielman for Tennessee. Vanderbilt 4-1 in their last five. Their lone loss to Texas by three. They beat Kentucky, Auburn, Mizzou, and LSU. Tennessee 3-2 in their last five. Their losses to Bama and Oklahoma. They beat Kentucky, New Mexico State, and Florida. This game's fun to me. Vanderbilt has been a fun team to watch all year. Currently, Tennessee is a 2.5-point favorite, 66.5 on the over-under, and negative 145 for the money line, plus 125 for Vanderbilt. These are two offenses that are electric. Their defenses have stepped up to the plate to help them be better. They're playing in the tough SEC, but they're making it happen week after week, and they're fun teams to watch. I'm going to roll with the underdogs here in Vanderbilt because I have loved everything I have seen from Vanderbilt football over the last couple of years. This year has been the culmination of where they want to be with Diego Pavia. They weren't able to win a couple big games that would have them much higher in the ranks fighting for a spot in the college football playoff. But this season should be seen as a success by the Commodores and something to build off of as they look to have more success in the future. I like what they put out this year. Give me Vanderbilt in this game to be successful and come out with a win over Tennessee in rivalry week, which is going to bounce us over to our last rivalry week game of the year. It is Ohio State, 11-0, 8-0 in the Big Ten, versus Michigan at 9-2, 7-1 in the Big Ten. This is the big noon kickoff on Fox. It's going to be at the Big House, Michigan Stadium in Ann Arbor. Ohio State is 9.5-point favorites, 43.5 on the over-under, negative 400 on the money line, plus 300 for the Wolverines. Sayan versus Underwood, Bo Jackson versus Jordan Marshall, Jeremiah Smith versus Andrew Marsh. The defenses, as we know, are stellar. 5-0 in their last five for both of these teams. I'm not going to talk it up a ton because I don't want to talk over too much and say the wrong things. Bryce Underwood has to be able to throw the ball this weekend. Jordan Marshall is going to have a good day on the ground. Bryson Kuzdahl, you're going to be called on because the two-headed monster is always needed against Ohio State. Hopefully Michigan is still in Ohio State's head as much as we believe they are, and they will come out with a victory. So that's what I have. I'm taking Michigan because I would never pick Ohio State to take down Michigan in the first place. We'll have that game played at noon, well, starting as soon as I'm done here. And then we will have Sunday night football for you all as well tomorrow. That game is going to be between the Broncos and the Commanders. Going to be here on WBCK. We will also have Monday Night Football between the Giants and the Patriots going down on Monday here on WBCK. And then on Wednesday, we will have the Lions and Cowboys game here on WBCK for all of you to enjoy as well. We'll have the SEC Championship playing next weekend. Hopefully, you guys enjoy this weekend. Enjoy some more of that Thanksgiving food. I'm going to do the same. And we'll be back with more Mid Madness next week on 95.3 WBCK.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app. Sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.